My name is JonBenet Michaels. I am 15 years old. Today is November 29th. Right? Yeah. And I'm speaking with Daniel Smith here, who is my uncle. We are recording this interview in Boston, Massachusetts. Say hi.
Hello, my name is Daniel Smith.
How are you today, Daniel Smith?
I'm very well. Thank you.
That's good. Can you tell me about a person who you looked up to as a child?
My uncle Ted.
Tell me about him.
He worked for the Food and Drug Administration, and he lived in Baltimore, Maryland. But I would visit him once or twice a year, or he would visit us with my grandmother.
And why did you look up to him?
He was taller than I was, and he was he worked he was in the army in World War II and put himself through school, night school, and was a very educated man.
Tell me about your parents.
My mother was from Ireland, and my father met her during World War II. He was in the U.S. Navy and stationed in Northern Ireland, and that's where they met. And she came to America in 1948, or 1946, I believe, and got married, and my oldest brother was born in 1948. They had five boys and five girls, and I'm in the middle of those 10 children.
How does it feel being the middle child?
Sometimes I felt as though my oldest brother and my youngest brother were treated better by my mother, and my next old my the immediate older brother was treated better by my father, and my younger brother was treated better by my godmother, who was my mother's sister, Ellen Harkin, who also came from Ireland.
So how did your parents meet? Like, where?
My mother worked as a shirt and dressmaker in Northern Ireland, and her parents died when she was young, and she was being raised by her older sister, Ellen, and they worked in Londonderry, Ireland, and they met by chance.
So, like, your father needed a shirt.
I don't know if he needed a shirt, but Ireland was a poor country, and the woman needed a way to better their life, and America was a great country for opportunity.
What was your biggest achievement?
My biggest achievement was
Graduating high school.
getting sober at the age of 29 and a half years old. And then 3 years later, joining the Boston Fire Department.
Where you later got fired. What? Nothing.
Where
Okay.
I worked for 31 and a half years and retired.
Stop lying. Next question. You were born in Missouri, right? So tell me about Missouri.
I was born in, my mother had six children in St. Charles, Missouri. And she had four children in Boston, Massachusetts. I lived in St. Charles, Missouri for 2.5 years. And then came to Boston, or Charlestown, Massachusetts. I've been back to visit my cousins in Missouri, and it's a nice state where they hunt and fish, and work on, well, there's a lot of farmland out there.
Do not go pick up the phone.
So, and I've been back to visit it, and it's a nice town. And where I have lots of cousins, and my grandmother lived there as well. And that's it for that. I can remember going to the playground when I was like 6 or 7 and running around the playground. And it's just nice to visit cousins that you don't, I don't see that often.
Tell me about that story where it was it you and Billy or Dottie and Billy who ran off?
When I was 6 or 7 years old, we went back to Missouri, and the whole family, and my younger sister and my younger brother.
So it was Dottie and Billy.
Dorothy and Billy. My grandmother's husband, my grandfather, was a tall and sort of angry man. So he yelled at Dottie and Billy, and they decided to go back to Boston. And they went behind the house, and there was a set of railroad tracks, and they started walking on the railroad tracks. So some police seen them walking on the tracks, and they took them to the police station, and then they gave them ice cream and found out where they were from. And was able to locate my grandmother and my mother and father. But they must have been 4, 5 or 6 years old. And they decided to go back to Boston and walked on the railroad tracks, which would have been about 1,000 miles.
So tell me about growing up with your Aunt Ellen. How was that having her in the house with living in the house when you were growing up?
My Aunt Ellen lived to be 104 years old.
I thought she was 105.
Almost 105.
Are you sure?
She was born in 1911, and she died in 1915. 2015, sorry about that. And she was born before TV and radio, so she had to memorize everything, and she could remember prayers in Gaelic, and she could remember a lot of old history, and she remembered when she was a child, she used to have to take a loaf of bread and butter and a teapot up to the bog where her father was getting peat, which they used to burn in the stove. And they would take water from the stream and put it on a fire, campfire, and make tea, and put bread and butter, put butter on the bread for their lunch, so she could have lunch with her father. And she was probably 12 or 13 years old. And she was just a very nice woman, and she used to sing and play the accordion. And she was very, she just was a nice woman. Told a lot of old stories and very entertaining.
Do you have any stories about her?
Any stories?
I'd prefer a funny story. something to make me laugh.
She used to call the children wee ones. There's a wee one. There's a wee one. And she was in her later life she was going blind, but she always, when Osama bin Laden was running around, she said, "Osama bin Laden, where are you hiding?" And she would always make rhymes and stuff like that. She used to write notes on important days and keep a diary. And she had a keen sense of humor about things.
Do you have any specific memories, like a specific time?
No, just I right now I can't think of them. Can't think of
You're going to have to start keeping a diary.
But
okay, should we move on?
Next question.
So, you've had many girlfriends. Tell me about that.
That is kind of personal.
Yeah? Tell me about one of them. Your favorite one.
Women are very hard to understand sometimes. And I have trouble understanding them.
Okay.
And I also have loyalties to other children.
We're not talking about children, unless your girlfriends were children, which would be a serious problem.
Let me see.
Wasn't there that one who shot you in the hand?
But no, that was... when I was like 14 years old, I had a pellet gun.
And weren't you teaching a girl how to use
it? And I was showing a young girl how to shoot it. And I said to her, "Whatever you do, do not point it at anybody." And but as soon as I handed it to her, she pointed it at me, so I went to push it away, and she shot me in the hand.
That's not very nice.
By accident.
But why did she point it?
Because she... maybe she was wanted to point it at me.
Pushing your buttons.
No, she just accident.
So she pointed at you by accident.
Yes, and then pulled the trigger by accident as well.
Do you believe it was an accident, or you know it was an accident?
I believe it was an accident, because one day she left her roller skates at the park, and I brought them to her house, which was about 10 doors away. And the next day, her mother gave her a shiny dime to give to me in school as a reward for returning her roller skates.
And did she keep that dime or did she give it to you?
She gave it to me. And back when I was in school, a dime was worth 2 candy bars.
Not anymore.
1 nickel apiece. Or an ice cream cone, which cost 5 cents.
And now it costs like $5.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is before inflation.
You know, that's too bad. Everything's expensive now.
Mm. Yeah, I know my Aunt Ellen, she worked hard and she used to always like to play the accordion and enjoy herself. Tell stories. Next question, please.
Where did you go to high school?
Well, I started out, my first 2 years were at Matinon High School, a Catholic school. But I overheard my father talking about the price of tuition. So, and also I was not doing too well in French and Latin. So I left Matinon High School, and in the last 2 years I went to Charlestown High School, public school, where there was no tuition.
Not a very good school.
And the school was crowded, so as long as I attended class, I was able to, they didn't have much homework, so I was able to complete school, high school.
That must have been nice, not having homework.
It was, well, they had homework, but I did not complete it a lot of times. So instead of getting A's and B's, I got C's and D's.
Tell me about that. How did that make you feel?
Well, I was also into marijuana and drinking beer, so I settled.
At the same time, I hope.
I settled for less, and I wanted to go to college, but I could not afford college, and my father couldn't afford college, so he just told me to go to work. So I went to work, and also the Vietnam War was going on, and my oldest brother went to Vietnam, and the year I graduated, they had a draft, and my number was like 320, so I did not have to go to Vietnam, because Vietnam was a very bad war.
Do they still do the draft?
No, they don't have a draft anymore. It's a volunteer army.
Really?
Yes.
So what if no one volunteers?
Then there would be no army, but they may have to have a draft. But right now it's a voluntary army. And we're not in a war like Vietnam, which was a civil war between the North and South Vietnam, and it was an unwinnable war.
Who won the war?
The North Vietnamese won the war. The French were in there for 90 years before us, and we were in there for 10 or 15 years. I tried to go to part-time school when about 4 years after I graduated high school. And I
what was that?
About 1978.
No, where was that?
At the Bunker Hill Community College.
No, just...
Who?
Just over there, down the street.
Down the street from my house. So I called up my Uncle Ted and I asked him for some money, and he sent me tuition money. But because of my working and drinking, I could not finish.
But mostly drinking?
Mostly drinking, right. So I dropped out of community college.
Oh, that's actually a good question.
And then five years later, I quit drinking.
How would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as a, I don't know if this, someone who cared a lot for his descendants. I have no I have no biological children of my own, but I have lots of nieces and nephews. And I support them whenever I can with their education.
Mm-hmm. Describe one of your happiest memories. When you got that red bicycle for your 9th birthday.
One of my happiest birthdays was seeing my niece, my grandniece, my mother's, my niece's daughter, JonBenet Michaels, graduate from kindergarten.
It wasn't even a real graduation. I don't like those, because it's like graduate high school, then come talk to me.
She had been living with us for a couple of years, and I used to have to wait for the bus with her.
I really didn't like that bus.
Actually, she didn't take the bus for the kindergarten.
Yeah, I did. At the Winship.
Oh, no, the kindergarten in Harvard Kent.
How did I get there?
You went to kindergarten in Harvard Kent. And
well,
then,
how did I get
then,
there?
Then you went to...
did I walk?
No, maybe Dottie took you down with the carriage. No, not the carriage. Yeah, maybe the carriage.
When you're 5 years old, you're old enough to walk.
Well, I may have driven you. I think I drove you. Or Dottie drove you.
Jake, you're kind of being a little destructive. But that's fine.
Also, okay. When I adopted my dog, Jake.
Nice.
Who turned out to be a mean dog toward other dogs.
And people.
And
most people.
It takes him a while to get to know you.
He still doesn't like me?
He loves you.
No, he doesn't. So, before Jake, there was Bailey and Ivory. Tell me, what did you think of them?
Bailey and Ivory were two of my nephew's dogs.
No, only Bailey was. Ivory came from Mona.
Oh, that's right. Bailey was one of my nephew's dogs. My nephew was in the U.S. Army in Texas.
He was not in the Navy, he was in the Army.
He was in the Army in Texas, and whenever a person would leave the base and transfer to another station, they could not take their dog. So him and his wife had five different dogs from five different people.
Wait, which wife is this? Is this Vanessa or...
Vanessa. And he moved to New Hampshire for a year and a half. To my house in New Hampshire, and they had the five dogs in the yard, and they all started with a B. It was Busta, Bubba, Bailey.
Wasn't the other one Bella?
Bella. And I can't remember the fifth dog.
Were they all B's? Or, didn't he have one named Floyd?
No, Floyd was
a... Was that before all the dogs that began with B?
Yes. Floyd was a dog he had before he went in the service as a teenager. Floyd used to chew my sneakers. As a chew toy. I had a dog named Max, and he used to follow me to high school. So in order to stop me from following me to high school, I used to have to go through this parking lot that had a fire escape. And I would get on the fire escape because the dog would not walk on the fire escape.
Too scared?
Because he couldn't see, he would see to the bottom and he was afraid, yes. So that's how I stopped him. One day he followed a friend of my father's to Jamaica Plain, and it took him a week to find his way back.
Tell me about that.
But he was missing for a week, and a week later he came back. And
were you crying like, no, my dog, my dog?
No, I was not too worried about him. There was a picture in There was a picture in the newspaper of my father and my niece Jennifer and the dog sitting on a bench. And my father had a funny hat on. And they took a picture of it and put it in the newspaper.
How did he find his way home?
Dogs have a memory and they can...
No, they don't.
They can find their way back. They can have a homing device. It took him a while, but he made it back. They have a sense of direction that is uncanny, and smell. They could have smelled the ocean, or there was a candy factory down the street at Schraff's.
Or he could have smelled you.
But anyway, I've heard of dogs being lost and crossing the country and eventually finding their way back. We had a couple of kittens when I was maybe 10 or younger, and one of them died and we buried it in this yard, and it was Tiger 1 or Tiger 2, they was named.
So they both have the same name?
Yes, it was Tiger 1 and Tiger 2.
So back to the original question. What did you think of Bailey and Ivory?
Well, Bailey, we used to call him Bailey Bad Breath. He was an old dog, and his teeth were, he had bad breath from the old.
From not brushing his teeth.
From not
taking care of his dental hygiene.
And Ivory was a white dog with a lot of hair on it. And
do you say it?
He was lot of hair on himself.
Herself.
But they were good dogs. And
except for that time when they ran across the bridge.
Bailey got too old, and we had a put him down, and then Ivory was given to a person who lived in Dorchester, and the children were upset because they missed both Bailey and Ivory.
Mostly Ivory.
And then Ivory came back after a month or two, and the kids were upset, and they stopped having Ivory come back to visit because it was too upsetting. So a year later, we were in New Hampshire, and the kids wanted a dog, and I was at the shelter, and Jake was there, and we picked up Jake approximately 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago.
4 years ago.
4 years ago. And Jake is 11 years old now.
Not nice. Still not nice.
Sleeps all day. And a good dog. He's
not
a good
really.
Dog.
Not really.
He gets along good with our new dog, Charlie. They bark at each other.
Okay. Yeah. Charlie's nicer. Okay. So, do you want to tell the story of the time when Bailey and Ivory both ran across the bridge?
I don't recall that story. I was not around. I was probably.
Do you remember
working.
That?
No.
Dottie was chasing after them.
No, I don't remember that. I probably worked at, and did not hear of that story.
So should I tell it, even though I'm not the one being interviewed?
If you want to, it's your story.
So there was this one time when the dogs, Bailey and Ivory, they got out, I guess somehow through the backyard or I don't know. And so they ran down the street, and then, like, there's a bridge that goes to the north end, and they ran across, well, not where the cars, they didn't run where the cars go, I don't think. They ran, like, on the sidewalk part, where, like, people can walk. And so my aunt was chasing after them, your sister. My aunt, your sister. Well, my great aunt, your sister. And she was chasing after them. And, yeah, that's what happened. So, tell me about your sister, my grandmother. What was your relationship with her growing up?
Your grandmother was a 2 to 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to Catholic school in the north end, Julie Billiards School. Mm-hmm. And she was older than me, and so she didn't, we didn't hang out together, but...
No, of course not. Siblings don't really hang out.
She got married young, and I was probably 16 when she got married, and she was 19.
Did you attend that wedding?
I did attend that wedding.
Did you approve?
I don't know if... I believe I attended that wedding. I did not attend my sister Una's wedding because I got into a fight with my father. So...
Do you approve of my grandmother's marriage?
I did.
What did you think of my grandfather, her husband?
He was a good guy, and he used to buy us pizza, and
so he bribed you.
But they were kind of young, and my sister had 3 children right away, and they lived in Charlestown, and. But they got divorced, I think, about 12 years after they got married, or So she had the three children, and she was living by herself. And then she moved closer to my parents to get some support. Oh boy.
So, did you learn anything from, well, I don't know if I'd call it, I don't know if I would call getting married. I guess I would call that kind of a mistake. What would you say you would learn from that? From witnessing my grandmother get married so young and then they just get divorced?
Well, I don't know if I learned it from your parents, but I learned it from my mother and father having so many children that they had trouble. They were overwhelmed with so many children that they...
Well, that was kind of off topic, but okay.
So I said to myself that I would wait to have children to make sure I could take care of them. And then eventually I never did have children. But so I took child rearing very serious because...
You never did have a girlfriend either.
I had a few girlfriends, and so I didn't want to have children if I could not take care of them. And by the time I quit drinking, I was over 30 years old. And
I thought you said you quit drinking when you were 29.
29 and a half.
That's so not over 30.
Just almost turning 30. So I never eventually had any children of my own, but I have lots of nieces and nephews. And 20 years ago, my brother Thomas died unexpectedly, and he had he was a single parent with a 15-year-old son, Adam. And my sister, Dottie, and myself took care of him until he was about 19 or 20 and went into the U.S. Air Force. And then 11 years after, or 10 years after that, my sister took in four children of my niece. And then a couple of years later, we signed for guardianship to those four children. So I have never had any actual children, but I've had nieces and nephews that were dependent on me. And I tried to stress education as the most important part of life, because when I got out of high school, I worked for an insurance company, and my boss told me, no matter how well you do at this company, without a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree, you will never get promoted. So that's when I went to Bunkhill Community College. But because I was drinking, I could not complete that course. So I know how important education is. Why I have stressed that to all my nieces and nephews.
So, back to the original question. Did you learn anything from, like, my grandmother getting married so young, and, like, then, like, 12 years or however many years later, they just got divorced? And
when my sister Kathy got married, she had just finished high school and was very young and had not had any college education. And the boy the man she married was not college educated as well. So they had entry-level jobs. So I learned if you're going, in order to succeed in life, you need a college degree. And you should not get married unless you are well educated. Back.
I mean, she was young too, like, she didn't know what she wanted in life.
That is true. We have. Today's families are smaller, which is good because.
Overpopulation.
Because of the population, and there's no a lot of manufacturing jobs, and it's just a different world. Back 100 years ago, they had farms, and they needed a lot of help on the farms. Today, you don't need that.
I've never seen a farm before. It's crazy.
And so the survival rate was not as well as it is today. A lot of people, a lot of children died young.
Of what?
Of flu, tuberculosis, polio. My father was diagnosed with polio when he was in 1960, I believe, and a couple of years later, Dr. Salk developed a vaccine for polio.
Can you repeat their name, please? Did you say Dr. Salk?
Salk, S-A-L-K, S-A, Dr. Salk?
So not Salt, okay.
Salk, S-A-L-K, developed a vaccine for polio.
Does everybody get it?
Yes. And they have the mumps, measles vaccine, and chickenpox was very bad. Tuberculosis. When I was a young child, I had a false positive for TB, tuberculosis. And so a lot of people came down with diseases and died young. But today, with today's medicine, survival rate is a lot better. And
yeah. Well, thank you, science, for that.
Thank you, science. Right.
So there's only like a minute left. So, is there anything else you wanted to add?
Enjoy life, work hard. So how do you work when you're younger?
Eat some good food too.
Eat well. I have never had a problem with eating. But work hard at school and get a good education and you get a good job and you can save for retirement and enjoy your weekends and vacations and
learn your math, because math is important.
Math is mandatory.
It's important too.
And what's the other M-A-T-H? Main?
What are you talking about?
M-A-T-H. M-I-A-T.
Are you talking about that joke that I used to make?
Yeah.
Mental abuse to humans?
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good for carpentry, for engineering. All kinds of uses for math.
Yeah.
Cooking.
What you're going to have to learn how to do?
Someday. But I usually eat out.
Yeah. Well, thank you for participating in this interview.